Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narratries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Imperial Presidency is a major nonfiction study by historian Arthur M. Schlesinger Jr. that examines the growth of executive power in the United States, especially in matters of war and foreign policy. First published in 1973, the book became closely associated with the Watergate era because it appeared as Richard Nixon's presidency was collapsing under revelations of abuse of power. Schlesinger's central concern is constitutional. He argues that the presidency gradually accumulated authority beyond what the framers intended, often at the expense of Congress and the separation of powers. Rather than treating this as a sudden rupture, he traces a long historical pattern in which presidents expand their reach during crises and then face partial correction later. The book is both a history of presidential power and a warning about the democratic risks created when emergency authority becomes routine. Its influence comes not only from its historical sweep, but also from the phrase it popularized, imperial presidency. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how crisis situations let presidents expand beyond constitutional limits. A major argument in the book is that American presidents have often enlarged their power during moments of national danger or political urgency. Schlesinger does not present executive overreach as a single scandal tied only to one administration. Instead, he shows a recurring pattern in which wars, internal conflict, and foreign disputes create pressure for decisive action, and presidents respond by taking steps that normally would belong to Congress. This is central to the book because it explains how executive power can grow gradually while still appearing justified in the moment. The danger is not simply that a president acts forcefully, but that repeated emergency actions make exceptional authority seem normal. Schlesinger's historical method is important here by linking different eras together. He argues that crisis power has a cumulative effect on the office itself. The presidency becomes stronger, not just through formal constitutional change, but through precedent, habit, and public acceptance of necessity. This makes the argument more than a critique of one leader. It becomes a structural warning about how democracies can drift toward concentrated power. Secondly, the constitutional tension between Congress and the presidency. The book is deeply concerned with the balance of authority between the legislative and executive branches. Schlesinger emphasizes that the Constitution assigns Congress the power to declare war, while the president serves as commander-in-chief and conducts foreign policy within limits. His analysis argues that over time, presidents increasingly treated those limits as flexible, using their control of military and diplomatic action to bypass congressional deliberation. This shift matters because it alters the basic logic of Republican government decisions, with major consequences for war, liberty, and national resources move from a collective and publicly accountable body to a single executive office. Schlesinger presents this as an erosion of constitutional checking rather than a healthy adaptation to modern governance. He also suggests that Congress often enabled the trend by surrendering initiative during emergencies or by failing to defend its own institutional prerogatives. The result is not just stronger presidents, but a weaker system of shared power. This constitutional lens gives the book its enduring relevance, since it frames presidential power as a question of structure, not personality alone. Thirdly, historical examples that trace the making of the imperial presidency. Schlesinger builds his case through historical examples that show the long development of executive power. One of the earliest cases he highlights is James K. Polk, whose actions in the conflict with Mexico helped provoke war and illustrated how presidents could exploit ambiguity in war-making authority. He also discusses Abraham Lincoln, whose Civil War measures, including suspension of habeas corpus, demonstrate how emergency conditions can justify sweeping executive action. These examples matter because they show that the imperial presidency was not created by modern media, the Cold War, or Richard Nixon alone. It has roots in earlier constitutional crises. By choosing presidents who are often remembered as effective or heroic, Schlesinger makes his point more forceful, even celebrated leaders expanded power in ways that set lasting precedents. The book therefore resists simple moral categories. It recognizes that some emergency actions may have been politically understandable, but it insists that necessity does not erase constitutional cost. This historical approach helps readers see continuity across different eras and understand executive aggrandizement as a recurring feature of American political life rather than an isolated deviation. Fourthly, Watergate as proof, not the origin, of executive abuse. Although the book was written during the Watergate crisis, Schlesinger treats Watergate as a dramatic confirmation of a deeper historical problem rather than the beginning of it. Nixon's abuses gave the book immediate urgency because they revealed how far presidential behavior could move when secrecy, coercion, and claims of national necessity were combined. Schlesinger argues that the scandal exposed a broader constitutional weakness if an office has accumulated too much unilateral authority. then a president inclined toward abuse can exploit it quickly. This is why Watergate functions in the book as both an event and an illustration. It is evidence that the imperial presidency had become dangerous, but it also shows how difficult it is to reverse once entrenched. The book's timing matters because Schlesinger was writing while the scandal was still unfolding. So the work carries a strong sense of institutional alarm, yet his larger point is not limited to Nixon. He uses Watergate to show that personal misconduct becomes far more consequential when combined with a presidency already expanded by history. In that sense, the scandal is a symptom of a constitutional trend, not its sole cause. Lastly, why the phrase imperial presidency still shapes debates over executive power? One of the book's greatest achievements is that it gave a lasting language for discussing executive overreach. The phrase imperial presidency has remained influential because it captures a political reality that is easy to recognize even when legal boundaries are debated. Schlesinger's framing helps explain why later scholars, journalists, and critics continue to use the term when presidents claim emergency powers, wage war without full legislative consent, or stretch executive authority in foreign affairs. The book's afterlife also shows that its significance goes beyond the Nixon era. Later editions and renewed attention after the Iraq War demonstrated that readers saw its argument as relevant to newer administrations and new kinds of military action. At the same time, the book remains valuable because it combines history with institutional analysis. It does not merely denounce presidents. It asks how constitutional government can tolerate strong leadership without sliding into executive dominance. That balance between historical narrative and structural critique is what makes the concept durable. The book continues to serve as a reference point for anyone trying to understand the American presidency as an institution that can grow powerful enough to threaten the system that created it. In conclusion, the imperial presidency should be read by students of American history, political science, constitutional law, journalism, and anyone trying to understand how executive power expands in practice. It is especially useful for readers interested in war powers, separation of powers, and the long-term consequences of crisis politics. The book rewards careful reading because it offers more than a denunciation of one president or one scandal. It shows how constitutional erosion can happen gradually through repeated exceptions, public acquiescence, and institutional weakness. That makes it intellectually valuable even for readers who disagree with some of Schlesinger's judgments. Compared with shorter or more partisan books on presidential power, this work stands out for its historical sweep and its enduring conceptual vocabulary. It connects early American precedents, Civil War emergency measures, and modern executive behavior into a single framework. Its lasting contribution is the idea that presidential power is not only about leadership style, but about constitutional structure and democratic balance. For readers who want a foundational account of American executive power, this remains one of the most important books in the field. If you would like to support Junior Arthur M. Schlesinger, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.